It's 8:02. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, October 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. The city of Montrose is taking the internet into their own hands. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Back in 2005, the internet was still coming of age. It was before Twitter, before hashtags, before the first iPhone. YouTube had just been founded, and the desire for more bandwidth was increasing. In 2005, for the first time, there were more people connected by broadband than by dial-up. In 2005, Colorado also passed a law that said that municipalities can't get into the internet game. The state law made it so that only private companies could build infrastructure or provide services.
This came up as an obstacle every time that we looked at options of solving our own problem. And fortunately, in the 2005 law, it allowed us to hold a referendum.
That's Virgil Turner, the Director of Innovation and Citizen Engagement for Montrose. They've been looking to speed up their internet with fiber optic, but private companies weren't exactly racing to provide it to Montrose.
The things that we were hearing is that there's just not sufficient return on investment. We're providing enough broadband access for our customers in Montrose, and we have no intention of necessarily expanding anytime soon. And so that was a situation that couldn't stand much longer, and so we decided to take matters into our own hands.
So last spring, they held a referendum, and it passed by a 3-1 margin, exempting Montrose from the Colorado rule. They were the third community in the state to buck the law. This week, Turner, along with the mayor of Montrose and the city manager, are in California, attending a conference of Next Century City, a collaboration of cities all across the nation who are trying to improve their internet.
What this organization is going to do for us is provide a partnership, working together, understanding what other folks have gone through before us, learning from their mistakes, and hopefully standing on their shoulders.
Montrose is joined in the group by Chattanooga, Kansas City, Portland, and 27 other cities. Virgil can't give a timeline, but hopes that this will accelerate the development of fiber optic in Montrose. For KVNF News, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Mine Safety and Health Administration released the results of their investigation into the two deaths at the Revenue Silver Mine in Ouray County last December. They found that the miners died because of management's failure to dispose of deteriorated explosives in a safe manner. To get rid of the bad explosives, they detonated them in a section of the mine that wasn't well ventilated. The explosives released carbon dioxide. Two miners went in that evening and reported feeling sick. They told management, but management didn't do anything about it. The next day, a pair of miners went in, and one, Nick Capano, collapsed. The other escaped. In an attempt to rescue the first miner, shift boss Rick Williams ran in and also succumbed to the deadly gas. Nick and Rick both died. Seven other miners were hospitalized. MSHA has levied a $1 million fine against Star Mine Operations, who was the operator of the mine until very recently. Star Mine was also recently labeled POV, Pattern of Violations. U.S. Senator Mark Udall was campaigning in Montrose this summer. KVNF's Laura Palmisano was there and asked him about how Obama's Climate Change Action Plan will affect Colorado, how the Clean Power Act will affect the state's coal industry, ballot measures over fracking, and what he's doing to help Colorado communities deal with natural disasters.
How will Obama's Climate Change Action Plan impact Colorado?
Colorado? The president's Climate Action Plan creates enormous opportunity for Colorado. We're a best-of-the-above energy state. We have renewables. We have clean-burning natural gas. We have an energy efficiency focus like no other state. We have also some very clean coal in our state. So we're poised to create jobs, do our part for national security, and protect the environment right here in Colorado. I've embraced the president's plan. It's the right thing to do. Climate change is happening. It threatens our economy. It threatens our very way of life. But if we go to work now and turn these new technologies that we'll develop into jobs, it'll be a plus for the state and for the country.
How will the Clean Power Act affect the state's coal industry? In Paonia area, we have three coal mines.
The key to all of this is to put the R&D money in place to research ways in which we use coal, but we reduce the emissions significantly. Carbon emissions are changing our climate, not just in Colorado, not just in the U.S., but around the world. Coal is abundant, but in order to continue using it and keep faith with our children, we need to reduce the emissions that come off that coal. And I'm one who believes we can find the technology to capture that carbon and then sequester it in underground caverns and in other ways.
Let's go back to the Clean Power Act. What is your opinion on that and how it could change the coal industry?
The Clean Power Act provides state-by-state flexibility. And Colorado is already leading the way in reducing our carbon emissions. So the Clean Power Act is going to be implemented here in Colorado in ways that will, I believe, enhance job creation, protect our environment. And also, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, I'm always looking for ways to be more energy independent. So there's a lot of opportunity in the Clean Power Act for all of our energy sources here in Colorado.
Let's stay on the topic of energy and move on to hydraulic fracturing.
There has to be a balance here. There are places where we use hydraulic fracturing to produce clean burning natural gas. There are other places we shouldn't hydraulically fracture because there are higher values that we think are important. By that I mean there are wildlife refuges, there are city parks, there are some neighborhoods, there are areas where we probably don't want a hydraulic fracture. But I think as Coloradans, we can come together, as we have in many other occasions, and find common ground.
What is your stance on hydraulic fracturing?
My stance on hydraulic fracturing is that it can be done safely. It must be done safely. One well contaminated or one person made sick is one too many. The industry has done a lot up to this point, but it could do even more. We can real-time test air quality. We can baseline test water quality. We can be thoughtful about when and where we hydraulically fracture. And this state, again, can lead the country in finding that right balance.
Wildfires have devastated areas in Colorado, so have natural disasters. What are you doing to help our communities here?
What I've done for my entire time in the Congress, both in the House and the Senate, is push for a smart, far-reaching strategy when it comes to preventing fires, fighting fires, and recovering from fires. Just over this last year, I pushed the Obama administration to bring online the latest in air assets. We need airplanes that can drop slurry and that can prevent fires from spreading. And I've also led the way in getting recovery dollars for places like Colorado Springs and the Poudre River and other areas where we've had these massive fires. And I've also led the way in ensuring that we then do after-action reviews and therefore come to understand how we prevent fires in the future. We've done a lot when it comes to educating homeowners. We're doing a lot more when it comes to creating healthier forests by thinning the underbrush and dead trees so that fire resumes its rightful place in our ecosystems, which is on the ground and in a low-intensity fashion.
That was KBNF's Laura Pomisano talking with Senator Mark Udall. And finally, the Forest Service will be holding a controlled burn on the North Uncompahgre Plateau starting today. About 240 acres will be burned in the Campbell Point area, and it will continue until Saturday, but smoke may continue for several days after that. Once again, thank you for supporting Mountain Grown Community Radio during our fall pledge drive. Up next, Tay and Joanna with the Thursday morning music mix, The Sweet Sound. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.